Oh, it's so cold. Ah, it's 1 degree out there. 1. Plus the wind, which takes it about 15 below. Which means it's about 1597. It's about 109 degrees fewer than I was experiencing about 4 or 5 days ago. And I know I've got absolutely no right to complain. This is the normal state of things in Minnesota, right? This is what we do. This is January. And just because I spent a couple of weeks bobbing around the Caribbean and Colombia and Mexico and the rest of it doesn't mean I should be complaining about this. This is normal. Who am I to complain? Well, in the words of James D. Kirk, who do I have to be? Not sure what that means, if I was just, like, saying it. Anyway, I guess I'm James Lilex. That's whom, a complaining fellow. But I'm happy to be back and happy you've joined me here at the First Diner for 2011. As noted, name's Lilex, and I am sitting at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern formica counter here at the old diner out on old Highway 23. Looks just as good as it did when I left it. Nothing's changed. Didn't expect anything would. I'm the only one who's changed, really. Travel broadens you, doesn't it? Of course, by that they mean the size of your arse. Here's something that I mentioned to my daughter, and I probably shouldn't have. It's so juvenile and involves a vulgarity, but I just couldn't resist. At one point, I asked somebody on the ship where the ice was, because I was having a can of Coke, and they can't just give you a can of Coke. I mean, it's got to be Coke on ice every time. Why? Because they never chill the Coke. That's why. So those of you who want a cold can of Coke, SOL, buddy. You're not going to get it on this boat. So I asked him for just, Coke, and I had a can, and I asked where the ice was, and the man, who had a Norwegian accent of some sort, pointed to a silver pail and said, "It's in the ass bucket." And I almost wanted to say, "The ass bucket. The ass bucket? The ass bucket? Good, the ass bucket. All right, I'll get my ass from the ass bucket." Which I did. It was good ass. It was that kind of voyage. Yeah, no matter what you wanted, there was somebody there to give it to you, and it got a little infuriating. If you follow the bleat, you noticed what I was talking about. I was on this two-week fortnight cruise around and talking, singing for my supper, and breakfast and lunch, and the degree of service on this place was extraordinary. You could not do anything without having somebody push a button or open a door for you. I mean, these people would literally throw themselves in front of you to trigger an automatic door, okay? And after a while, you just get a little tired of it, and you may suspect there's a mercenary element involved, because, dare I say, when tipping season comes around at the end, hands are out. Well, they're not exactly out. The eyes are beseeching, but you do get a little envelope in your stateroom telling you some suggested gratuities. Now, I made a point of tipping and greasing the palm of everybody who personally waited on me and did so in such a way that went above and beyond the course of the duty. But let me give you an example. In the dining room, there was a fellow who came by every night, 9 feet tall, immaculate, good personality, and he would give you bread. He was one of 3 people who gave you bread. First there was the bread sommelier, I guess, and then there was the young Belgian woman who just gave you a bunch of things. I don't know. She didn't have a specialty yet. Mostly bread and the mini inter-dessert desserts. Because you order dessert, and then while you're waiting for your dessert, they bring a dessert. I'm serious. Small little pastilles and cakes and the like. But this fellow would come by also with bread, and it was supposed to be some theatrical presentation. He would lean over. He had to. He's 9 feet tall. And present the basket and say, "Bread! Bread!" And everybody got a big kick out of it the first 5 nights. Well, apparently he was the head waiter. At the end of the cruise, an envelope suggested that I should give him a gratuity of $68 for bringing me bread. No. Anyway, so, I'm cheap. This thing is for the healed, the money, the people to whom $68, they might as well pull it out of their pocket and blow their nose on it and crumple it up and throw it away. But for me, $68 is a lot of lettuce. Anyway, it's great to be back, and it's good to be back among normal food. When I came into the diner, they had a menu, a little fake menu already, just for me, so that I might continue my cruise experience. Yes, and it had all the things that you might expect on a cruise, because you can't just get normal food. Nah, can't get a hamburger. It's going to be a Kobe beef burger. Can't get a good pizza. That was out of the question. No pepperoni in the pizzas. get that. You know why? Because everybody on the ship is old. That's why they're old and their stomachs can't take the pepperoni. It gives me the gas. But really extraordinary stuff. But after a while, you just get weary of going to lunch and finding that once more it's curried lamb. Lamb every day. I must have eaten an entire sheep by the time I was done with this thing. I mean, tubs of foie gras. Veal everywhere. I like a veal omelet. And then a veal smoothie, if you don't mind. And some veal cake when we're done here. A little side of minced veal. Would you like some liquefied veal in your coffee? Why, yes, thank you very much. You would start with breakfast, right? And you had your two choices here. You could either order off the menu and have it brought to your room, or your stewardess would set the table for you and you could enjoy it on your deck, which I did a few times. But after a while, I enjoyed going up because I just was four floors underneath the main restaurant. And I would head up the spiral staircase, find myself a place, emanate huge, wavy, spiky don't talk to me rays because I haven't had my coffee yet. And then I would go and get the breakfast. Great eggs, wonderful sausage, great crispy bacon, everything you possibly could want. And then the French toast. French toast was about an inch and a half thick. Delicious, except sugar-free syrup. For some reason, they kept it in the freezer. So every morning you would pour it on your stuff and it would be, you'd have cold French toast, freezing cold French toast. And I made a note of this. I sort of asked if they could maybe not put it in the freezer. And the person to whom I spoke to went over and slapped the person who put it in the freezer, who then took a dull plastic knife and ritually disemboweled himself. I mean, it's gratifying for that level of service, but the loss of life can just be horrible. So then you would somehow attempt to metabolize that food before the next eating session came along, because it did. Johnny on the spot at 11:30. The hot lunch went up at 12, but, you know, you could wander over to the poolside place where they'd grill up anything for you, and, you know, you could ask them, could you give me 6 pounds of French fries? Yes, sir. And you would get it. And then supper would come. We had an early seating as it was. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, this meal would begin, and it would last for 2 hours. 2 hours. You would have incredible appetizers, a salad, and these immense duck stuffed with other ducks. And then a great dessert, and the coffee, and the rest of it. And you'd stagger out of there at 8 o'clock, and people would just barely make it to the show. There were about 3 theaters in the place, and hand over hand going on their hands and knees down the aisle from the dining room to crawl into a chair and sit there and pop a button and let their guts a-gurgle while they watch some piece of Broadway or magic or ventriloquism. That's the sailing life. I love it. So the menu here they prepared is sort of funny. Just kind of these little extravagant dishes, which are nothing more than basic, you know, diner dishes that have been translated into French. The ticker stopper, for example, is arrêté de cure, I think. Anyway, so I'm glad to be back. It's nice to do things for myself and not feel like a total oligarchical plutocrat. But on the other hand, it is, as I mentioned, 110 plus degrees colder than it was. And I do miss being able to just walk outside the door and see the sun in a different city, and water, and the like. Yeah, at one point, I was watching a fellow throw what I thought to be about a half a ton of industrial garbage into the ocean, and I sat there transfixed, thinking, they really do things different in the Southern Hemisphere, don't they? Bale after bale after bale went over the side. This is a ship docked right next to ours. And when I figured out that he was actually showing up, throwing it on a dock below, I was quite disappointed. You guys got strict standards, too? Drat the luck. But then you'd see somebody heave over a piece of plastic and look around to see if anybody watched. Oily harbor? It was an oily harbor down there in Colombia. Yes, it was. This is why they tell you not to flick matches overboard. Whoomph! Cleveland River. So, but I'm done. I'm gone. It's even though in the morning I wake and I still feel like I should climb 5 flights of stairs and get coffee and snarl at people who want to take my tray away, which they would. I'd be walking along and they would come and take your tray, sir? No! 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 At that point in the morning, without coffee, I felt like some meek, helpless old man who's some mugger has come by to take his plastic Tesco bag or something, and I want to beat them with an umbrella. No! No! But by the time I had 4 or 5 cups of coffee, me and I was fine. Anyway, it's just a long, long, long time. So, and it's left me with an absolutely just flatline brain. There's nothing going on upstairs. But what I want to do, however, is just check the jukebox here, because I got to get back into normal routine. I've got to accept the fact that it's cold, and it's going to be cold for an awful long time, and there's nothing I can do about that, aside from moving or taking another cruise, neither of which is in the cards. So let's hit the jukebox here and see what we got. Let's go to C1. No. Sorry, that's just every Mexican port that I was in. Frankly, it doesn't really make me forget about the trip at all. I mean, really, that's either the music playing on the speakers or the music playing on the dock. There's a band on the dock usually playing, and big tip jar. And that's fine. Throw them a buck when you go past. It's their economy. We are their economy. We're it. We're the economy. It's like a giant factory that sails that comes to town two or three times a week, and everybody has a job. And then the factory goes away, and they don't. So I'm happy to help, but I wasn't going to pay $10 for a deck chair, for a chair on the beach, I mean. $10. I looked down the beach, and there was more beach. Granted, no chairs, but beach. So I didn't give them the $10. Bread. Let's see if we can find something else here to get me back in a Minnesota mood. This is painful.
Hawaii, 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 where are you? I've got my toothbrush back and I'm all ready. Let's go. Let's go and find a land of tropic sun and sand. Let's pack our grub and gear and beat it out of here. Let's find a southern breeze. We can't stay here and freeze. Discouraging our words, this cold is for the birds. Let's pack our gear and mush. Leave all the ice and slush. So long, goodbye, get lost. We'll head south and defrost.
This really isn't helping. Then again, what's the alternative? What am I supposed to do? Stay on the ship forever? Can't be done. Well, actually, yes, it can be done if you have enough money. There was an old lady on the ship who'd been there for 2 years. 2 years! Husband dies, leaves lots of money. Rich family, she just hangs around on the ship. It's cheaper than a nursing home. Just can't imagine 2 years of that, though. Red!
Let's go and find a land of tropic sun and sand. Let's pack our grub and gear and beat it out of here.
Oh, peck me. One more shot to get something to reacclimate myself, then I'm out of here. Some of these are going to be shorter diners, you know. Weekly, yes, weekly this year, but not always 30 minutes or so. Last shot, and I'm going to go with M1.
Summer showers fall, but have you heard of snowballs when winter comes to call? They glisten in the moonlight, they sparkle from afar. So many lovely snowballs reflect from every star. Can make a rainbow with colors way up high, and snow can make a snowball. You'll see them if you try. When day is done, the night shows this wondrous sight of sight. Call them pretty snowballs. They're known as Northern Lights.
You know, the term Snowbow for Northern Lights really didn't catch on, I suppose, as he would have wanted it to. Snowbow, it sounds more like a body of a frosty transient you find in your yard. Oh, the dog dug up a snowbow again. Well, at least it's gone a little ways to reminding me of the beauty that is winter here, and I'm acclimated to it now and resigned happily to my fate. Who wants to sit down in the tropics all year? It's going to get hot down there, and when it gets hot, 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 hellish hot down there, it'll be wonderfully warm up here again. So, looking forward to 2011, all the things I'm going to do in the site and here at the diner. Sorry it's short, just wanted to do something, get back in the groove. And speaking of which, pleased to note that the groove in the stool here, my stool, has not been obliterated by my absence, so everything is just where I left it. Thanks for joining me. It's been The Diner for Friday, January 21st, 2011. We'll see you down the road.